Ken Watmore, your host of Power Players Radio, the radio ministry of 1615.tv. Thanks for joining us. It's Sunday and it's 5 o'clock. That means it's time for the Featured Artist Profile. This is a great show. A show where we get an opportunity to listen to a CD cover to cover, some of the hottest Christian music from around the globe. Hey, it's Ken Watmore here with another Featured Artist Profile, and I'm here with Phil Kagi today. Phil, how are you?
Great, Ken. Good to talk to you.
You too. And I do want to mention that today at the end of our interview, we're going to play from cover to cover the CD Phantasmagorical, and we're going to get into that in just a minute. But let's find out a little bit about Phil Kagi first. Man, tell me about you. I know you play guitar. I know you're a great musician, but give me a little bit more. Tell me a little bit more of your history.
Well, I'm becoming one of those guys they call old timers, veterans, you know.
Right.
I've been around a bit, and I'm amazed. I pinch myself a little bit when I think about my history and my love of music and my appreciation for Jesus and for God and for His influence in my life and His actually redeeming my life. And that's a big part of it, you know. As people say, you know, their faith motivates them and inspires them to be creative. It really has been that's been the case for me too over the years. I started playing guitar between 10 and 11 years old. Got my first Sears Silvertone acoustic guitar when I was 10 for my 10th birthday.
Was it a catalog guitar?
Yeah, it must have been. My dad bought it at Sears, actually.
Yeah.
And then a year later, my brother Dave got me my first electric guitar when I was in fifth grade, and that's when I really, really started taking off, because the ease with which this guitar played, you know, it was a three-quarter size, kind of a homemade guitar, but it was made really well. And I learned so much that year and the next year, and by the time I was in seventh grade, I was in a little band called the Vertices in California, and we won the Battle of the Bands, and here I was a seventh-grade guitar player. Then we moved back from California back to my home state, Ohio, and I joined this band called the Squires. Incidentally, that's the same year I met John Safara, who we've always been friends since eighth grade, uh-huh. And then we started the Glass Harp when I was in 11th grade. So, I mean, I really took to the guitar and to music and performing at a very young age.
So let me ask you this. Were you guys, you did the Battle of the Bands. Did you know right then, hey, this is going to be our career? My vocation will be the art that I love? Or did you think, you know, it would just be kind of a hobby?
Well, the first Battle of the Bands I was in, you know, it was a bunch of local groups from the Buena Park area, California.
Uh-huh. I
knew at that point music was going to be my life, even as a kid, you know. I just loved it, you know. You know, the Beatles were out. I was into their sound. I was into the Ventures as well, you know, instrumental groups.
Sure.
I was into jazz. I loved all kinds of music. I started getting into listening to blues records and stuff. So by the time I was in high school, actually, you know, with all the influences of Eric Clapton, John Mayall, the Blues Breakers, Paul Butterfield Blues Band, Michael Bloomfield, Muddy Waters, Electric Flag, and of course, you know, Beatles and Jimi Hendrix, you know, Eric Clapton, Cream, Yardbirds, all those, Jeff Beck, all those groups and guitarists, you know, had a real powerful influence on me. But then I became a Christian in 1970, and I didn't like turn my back on all those influences. I still listened and I still played my guitar, and at the age of 19, 20 years old, I was pretty on fire for playing my Les Paul into my Twin Reverb amps. But I also began to develop a taste for classical music and classical guitar and fingerstyle folk English guitar like John Renbourn.
Yeah.
Later in the 70s, I came to discover musicians such as Pat Metheny, Alan Holdsworth, Michael Hedges. And so my ears have been open all my life listening to all kinds of great musicians. And they've all influenced me. I'm kind of a sponge, really.
Yeah. Well, it's evident that you cover so many areas of music, as far as the different, you know, maybe dialects of music. But you've also kind of, you know, invented your own style there. And I And I say that being a guy who likes all these different styles myself, too. So I can hear where influences that you mentioned maybe in the rock world would come in, and where the blues and jazz and things come in. But like you and I talked about in the beginning before we got into the interview is, you know, I'm a fan of Windham Hill musicians. They seem to bring in this great collective talent there. And I see where you've got some styles that supersede that. And I would say that only because I know that God is influencing your music, and God is definitely put a little touch on yours that sets it apart from the rest. And I don't say that to give you glory. I know that you would deny it.
Yeah,
too,
it's okay. It's okay. I mean, I walk around every day amazed at God's creation, whether it's in the beauty of His earth, or in the people that I see, or in the music I hear. It's so great, you know, to experience life and have an appreciation for good things. Have you heard of the Frio Suite I did with Jeff Johnson yet? Have you heard of that album?
No. I'd love to hear it.
Well, you mentioned Windham Hill a couple times, and Jeff, you know, he was on Windham Hill once upon a time, and he also was on, I think he was on Meadowlark there for a short time. He was involved with David Friesen, but his name is Jeff Johnson, and his label is Arc Music, and we did an album that became CD of the month for Echoes on NPR for October. And this just came out a couple months ago, and it's called Frio Suite, F-R-I-O Suite. And it's just such a great little trippy album. I love it. You know, it just takes you places. And it's only 8 tracks, but they're all about 6 to 8 minutes long. And it just takes you on a real cool journey. And we did it entirely through the internet. He's up in Washington State. I'm here in Nashville, Tennessee. Uh-huh. And we just exchanged files through the internet. And it's a good thing we did that, because we've been having nothing but internet troubles over the last 2 weeks with my server. So, bummer. But anyway, I just love that. I do one album that sounds like that, and then the next thing that comes out is Welcome In, my Christmas album. And it's completely like a different person. You know, I love being able to change things up and have a variety to what I do.
Absolutely. And I do want to just take a second to refer our listeners to philkagey.com. That's 2 G's. So, you know, it's philkagey.com, so that they can pick up some of your music as well. We definitely would like to refer them there. And, you know, I'm going to say this. You said the word trippy. Now, we're growing up in the kind of the area that I grew up into in music and everything like that. That's not the common Christian lingo, but it's applicable. And it's also something else that you said that throws me into this. And you said it takes you places. You know, the Christian world of music a lot of times don't necessarily feel like it's okay to let music tell a story and take you somewhere. But that's how God has, you know, bless the deal. I mean, God uses music to show creation, and it's His, and it's something that we can experience Him through. And a lot of people would look at that a different way. But I listen to a song like on this album, Phantasmagorical, like Cascade, and you know what? I'm feeling like I'm going somewhere with that song. I enjoy that about music. And what I enjoy particularly about your music is I can hear one style with you, and it's just flat out ripping the guitar up, rock and roll leads. Or I can turn around and hear this song that just totally sits me back in my seat, and I feel like I'm melting into God's creation. It's a great ability that He's given you to be able to go from one sec to another in music.
Oh, absolutely. Well, and it seems like, you know, because I've been, you know, I have been kind of, in a way, put in that genre category of CCM, because that's pretty much my associations have been most of my recording life, you know, for the last, well, I did my first album in 1973, which is how many years ago is that? It's 36 years ago. And then I got Christian distribution. That means businesses that were associated with either Sparrow or Word Records, you know, they distributed my music. But the thing that happens is it appears that you can, a musician who is like myself, I've done a good part of my music, you know, instrumental, but it's always evaluated, you know, through the telescope or the microscope, I should say.
Yeah, right.
Of CCM, and that's a bit unfair in a way, because that genre of music is solely judged by its lyrical content. So what do you do with an instrumentalist like myself? And that's why I think the Christian labels were kind of at a loss at what to do with me. You know, I heard some of them say, we don't know what to do with Phil Kagi. You know, he's not a Michael W. Smith, and he's not a Stephen Curtis Chapman. You know, and I'll never be them. They won't be me. But it seems like I probably, my roots have a lot to do with it, because I grew up as a young little rock and roll guitar player, and I poured myself into that, and so that's just how it's been, you know. So,
yeah.
You know, I wish I could really, if for instance, like I mentioned, Christian music is like the only form of music that is categorized solely by the content of its lyrics. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
So like a jazz lover is not likely to find my music where he normally looks for new stuff in record stores. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
And for instance, there are other artists like Jeff Johnson, who is a Christian and believes in the Lord and follows Jesus, and yet his music, you know, can appeal to anybody who's into New Age music because of the style and the feeling of it, you know.
Yeah.
Not necessarily the spirituality of it, but just how it sounds, you know. We're all influenced by various genres of music. I love all kinds of music. It was Anthony Phillips' album, The Geese and the Ghost, that inspired a lot of The Master and the Musician.
Huh.
You know, Anthony Phillips was one of the founding guitarists of Genesis.
Yeah.
You know, back there with Gabriel and Rutherford and those guys. And I loved his album, Geese and the Ghost, and that really influenced how I played. And so... And I had The Wind and the Wheat back in 1985, 86, whenever that came out. And so on Phantasmagorical, there's even a tune on it called The Wind and the Beat.
Yeah, and it's great.
Because, I'm glad you like it. It's kind of like, it's like The Wind and the Wheat meets Green Onions. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, because I love that kind of stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, I want to encourage everybody again, go to philkagi.com. I want them to pick up a copy of any of your albums, and all of them if they can afford it, for sure, to support you, but also because I really think they'll be blessed by the music, for sure. You know, you have, because of the time that you've been in music and because of the talent that you've had the ability to play in some great places and with some great people. I mean, any particular thing that sticks out in your head as far as, you know, maybe a place or a particular person that you played with that just blew the socks off you?
That I played with personally?
Yeah.
Well, let's see. I have sat down one time with Larry Carlton, and we jammed together. I was pretty blown away by that. 'Cause he's such a great guitar player that feels everything, you know.
Yeah.
Puts so much heart into his playing. Let's see. I wish I could have had a chance to play a little bit with Michael Hedges. Never had the chance. Almost had the chance with Michael Bloomfield.
Mm.
I did sit down and play with Paul McCartney once, and that was a thrill, just simply because he's one of four guys that were called the Beatles.
Yeah, that's right.
And he was a huge influence. But, you know, we got to play guitars for about a half hour together, and that was kind of a thrill. And we were doing tunes like Blackbird and Put It There.
Yeah.
You know, and jamming on little things like that, but... Who else? I've never had a chance to play with. I've never had a chance to really play with my guitar heroes. You know.
Yeah.
It never happened. I did used to jam with Joe Walsh back in the late '60s, early '70s. We shared the stage many times. We used to do Jeff's Boogie and trade off leads off that in the clubs that we played in.
JB's, that was great.
Yeah, the club up in Kent, JB's, in Kent, Ohio. But no, I've not rubbed shoulders with that many of them. You know, I did play on a Mark Farner album once. I did play on a Rick Derringer album once. Sorry about that.
That's
other
okay,
ring
man.
On my other line.
Yeah, it's all right, man.
It should go away eventually.
It's cool. Not a problem. So let me. I can say this. I feel like, don't worry about the phone ringing. That's cool, man. It's
okay.
It's an organic interview. It's okay. You know, if somebody was to YouTube your name right now, they'll see all kinds of videos that have, you know, Phil Kagi solos. And there's people on there that I don't recognize, but it does cover a range of There's some reggae style music in there, maybe even like a ska. There's some rock and roll, and then there's some, you know, some acoustic stuff that's on there too. Are people calling you to come play with them a lot, or, you know, are you just kind of doing your own thing and sometimes it happens, sometimes it doesn't?
Are you talking about on records, other people's recordings?
You know, I was just referring to if one of our listeners was to YouTube your name, there's a million videos out there with you playing with different people.
Uh-huh.
And I think that shows a lot of the different variety. And my question is, are artists that, like you said, you didn't get to play with a lot of your guitar heroes, but a lot of people now think that you're their guitar hero. Are they requesting that you play with them a lot? Because I see that you're up there with some younger bands a bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I played with Johnny Lang recently, and
yeah,
that was a lot of fun. I do so much of what I do solo.
Yeah.
Well, once in a while, I do maybe 20% of the year with a band, but I've not been doing a lot. I haven't been with a whole lot of different people. I mainly do my solo thing, occasionally with a band. And then I record, I do guitar parts for people, and all that sort. I've produced a couple artists this past year, it's not a super, you know, glamorous life or anything like that.
Right.
No, I'm not under the spotlight that often, huh?
Sure. No, I get that for sure. I think it's exciting to see at least some of these guys that have kind of looked up to you as guitar, especially in the, you know, Christian music has come a long way. So now you've got more of a variety coming to the table with Christian music. There's this, you know, strange influence in Christian music in this hip hop world. And then you've got this really radical rock and roll that's kind of, you know, a different style than what's ever been out there. And then you've got traditional contemporary Christian music, which, like we talked about, you know, unfortunately that's the sort of the label that falls on you, but you're different than all of that. So it's exciting to see some of these younger bands that maybe will have an opportunity to get you up there with them and get into a whole new style.
Well, honestly, I got to tell you, some of the coolest people I've ever met are people that are trying to write music for the Lord.
Yeah.
And who are Christian people. I mean, what kind of confuses me is just the mindset of the business in the radio world, you know, that's all. Because they kind of keep it very narrow in terms of what they play stylistically and what the record companies want from artists. I've seen them apply the pressure to be commercial when all they want to be is creative and be honest, you know.
Yeah.
But anyway, you don't want to get me into that subject because I'm not an expert anyway in it. The best thing I can do is just try my best to be the best I can be.
Right.
Myself, you know. So.
Sure, absolutely. Well, and then I think that ultimately that's what God would bless. So.
So you're going to play the whole Phantasmagorical album on your show?
Start to finish, yeah. It's going to come up right after we're done.
That is like a trip. The last time someone ever did anything like that was 1987. When Sunday's Child just came out, and KYMS out in California played it from track 1 through track 13, and I couldn't believe it. I pulled my car over and just sat in my car and listened. I just couldn't believe it, you know.
Well,
thank you for doing that.
Absolutely, every Sunday, you know, that's the deal. Here's what we try and do. We have this show. It's called a featured artist show, and that's where we're talking right now. We try and have an interview with an artist. And then we try and play one of their CDs from cover to cover. And generally, it's the newest CD, but every now and then I'll go back to an older CD with an artist and play it just because it's something that I totally like. And and we want to expose our listeners to something like that. I mean, I think you're right. I don't know of another show that's doing it right now, and we're not trying to do it because no one's doing it. I'm just trying to
do it. But that's good enough reason.
Well, yeah, but I just think it's cool. I mean, for me, I look at it like this. A lot of times musicians will put an album together, and this definitely goes away from the commercial record label thing.
Yeah.
A musician will put an album together that it starts somewhere and it finishes somewhere, and that's how they planned it. That's how they put it together. They might have fit it all in certain spots. An album may bring you to one certain emotion and then lift you up in the middle and drop you off at the end, or lift you up all the way through. So there's, you know, to not play it through, it shortchanges the intent of the artist, I think, sometimes.
Okay.
So for me, I like to be able to play that full album. And a lot of times, I would say that 80% of this show is dedicated to brand new Christian artists, because we're trying to get people out there that no one's ever heard before. But for some, you know, to kind of attract more attention to the show, maybe we like to turn in some artists that have been around for a while that people maybe don't know about or have forgotten about or forgot they had that CD on their shelf. And we like to do that. And then for a guy like you, frankly, and I, again, not to pat you on the back, you're just a great musician, and I love your stuff. So when I was approached with the opportunity to have the interview from my friend Richard, I said, man, we absolutely have to do that. That would be excellent. So,
that's so cool.
I appreciate you for taking time out for us. That's great. So
cool.
Well, and we'll wrap with that. I do want to, again, one more time, tell all my listeners, after you sit back and enjoy this CD, go to philkagi.com and pick up some copies of his music for yourself. It definitely will amplify your collection for sure. So, Phil,
that
thanks.
That sounds great.
Thanks so much.
Thank you, Ken. I appreciate it. And I hope that before Christmas comes, people do get a chance to listen to Welcome In.
You know what? I tell you what we'll do. I'm going to replay this interview two times. I'm going to play it once again before Christmas because I'm going to get the CD and I'll air that CD too. So in the next couple weeks, we'll do the Welcome In CD as well, and we'll just re-air this interview so that people can hear you again and hear that CD as well. But I absolutely have to play Phantasmagorical because it's just that great.
Well, thank you. Well, I just want to say one final thing that I hope you understand. And, you know, we talk about styles of music and genres of music and all that, but I kind of really wanted to emphasize one thing that I believe in with all my heart. The reason why I have remained lyrically the kind of musician I am is because I believe that the gospel is the best news. I believe in Jesus, and I believe that he is who he said he is. And I just want people to know that his saving love and his saving grace is the most important thing in my life. And so that's what makes me who I am, and that's what makes me the kind of man I am and husband I am and father I am and ultimately, you know, and then also a musician that I am. So I just wanted to give glory to God in that, and hope that my listeners, your listeners, will understand that.
Amen, man. You couldn't have said it any better than that. That was great.